a major league team in a major league city. The new crew.
This is to us. This is to Columbus. This is what this is all about. Unity, Columbus, history, the future, the new era, the new crew. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. And it's all because you guys like to drink beer.
Live from Awesome Town, Ohio, you are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of news and information for your Awesome Town crew.
Wait. Columbus returning to the conference championship for the first time since 2008. Now back-to-back appearances for the Red Bulls, but just their fourth time ever as Columbus kicks off. The streamers fly, and we're underway. Columbus right to left on your radio dial. Immediately they come into the penalty area, and Miramis scored! Miramis scored on a ball that was headed by Kamara! Finley took the brunt of a hit from the center backs! And Miram has scored the fastest playoff goal, surely, in Columbus history.
I could listen to Neil Seacott say that.
That'll warm you up.
I could listen to him say that over and over and over. Welcome to the show. My name is Matt Goshert. This is a post round one edition of the Eastern Conference Finals. We are brought to you by Landgrave Brewing Company, as always. We are live at Hen Docks. None of us have voices. And I am joined this evening by Morgan Hughes, Alex Stanek, Degenerate T-Bone.
Yes, indeed.
Smitty is back with us. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. Sam Fahmy is hitting the buttons. Greg Benson is here. However, he literally has no voice. So he's just going to communicate through a series of clicks and whirs.
It was that big NASCAR finale Sprint Cup. That's
really
what it was. I bet that's probably what did it for him.
Exactly.
Probably lost his voice watching that, right?
He was super excited about that.
Yeah.
They raced at... Where did they race?
Homestead.
Greg? Homestead? They raced at my high school?
No. Homestead, Miami. Like, just outside of Miami.
Okay.
South Florida.
Makes sense. Probably not a good idea to NASCAR in, like, Dover.
Does Hendock serve poison? Because I'd like to drink some right
Kyle
now.
Kyle Busch.
This is awful.
You don't like crispy M&Ms?
I'm allergic to things that suck, Timo. Back to you.
The crew win by a score of 2-0, allowing New York only two shots on frame for the entire game. We kind of made New York look like D.C. looked against New York. Really not a whole lot of effective anything from them. They had some possession. They had some decent strings of passes that they put together. But quite honestly, even without Gaston Saro, really good defense. I kind of want to get everybody's thoughts on this. Smitty, as the guest, you first.
I was going to defer to everybody else
first.
I'll put it this way. When you start a game off 9 seconds in with a goal, I mean, I think that just changes the entire complexion of their approach, New York's approach, everything that they wanted to do. They could afford to play. They could take more chances because they knew they already had one in the bag. And that was – and obviously New York realized they absolutely had to get that road goal, and it put – I thought it put the Crew SC in a great position to be able to suddenly realize, all right, we don't have to necessarily panic if they go and get that goal. We can kind of take their storm a little bit. We can weather that storm a little better because we've got a little more confidence now. And you saw New York came right back and had quite a few good chances in the first 15 minutes or so of the game. And I think that might have shaken a different Crew SC. But with that added confidence, that goal in the pocket, I think they played a tremendous game, and they didn't waver and get freaked out because New York was bringing it.
Alex,
a couple things. I think Steve Clark, we needed him to be, you know, a really big time player, and he was. He had a great game. Will Trapp, we talked about this last week. He needed to kind of drop deep when necessary and kind of track players who were making that run. He did that fantastically. Sasha Kljestan was neutralized throughout the majority of that game, and that was really good. We also benefited from the fact that Dax McCarty had a terrible game. He was really not on his usual self, and that helped. And our wingbacks were so good. Francis and Offal just played lights out. They were great. And Tyson Wall stepped up. We needed him to have a big game in place of Gaston Sarro, and he didn't put a foot wrong all game. So I think everything together, defensively, it was a great, great performance. And you add that to the fact that our attack was clicking and that we had a decent midfield performance, and, you know, the result speaks for itself.
Columbus blocked 6 of New York's shots. How huge is that? And how huge was just the whole defensive play?
It was good. I think the score line, it could have been worse for the Crew. I think they could have easily gotten a goal. We had some lucky breaks. Their finishing was lacking at times. But, yeah, I think our defense did very well, given the fact that Gaston Sarro was out. We limited them to half chances, and they didn't really have any really, really great chances. I can think of one that Bradley Wright Phillips had that I think he should have finished. I think that was second half. No, that was first half.
There was one in the second half that he skied over the goal.
Was that second half? That's the one I'm thinking of.
I remember that.
That's the one I was thinking of.
There was the one, too, that went into the side netting in the second half that I thought was a goal, and then obviously it wasn't. But, like, right when I first saw it, I thought, oh, crap, there it is. I don't know if that was him or not, but I know there was one that they had a couple of chances.
Yeah, it was. Clark had no chance to even.
No chance on that.
If that was on frame, it's in.
But, I mean, this is the kind of thing that happens in the playoffs. You need a little bit of luck, and you need to be hitting form at the right time. Our guys are hitting form at the right time. We're seeing solid performances from all 11 players on the pitch. And we're seeing our bench guys stepping up, too, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. Cedric Mwati's performance, he was fantastic. You can't look at this game and say, this guy should have done better. Yeah. I really can't think of a single player who I was disappointed in with this game. It was a great performance.
On that second goal, it counts everywhere but on the score sheet for Cedric Mwati. Yeah. That was just absolutely insane play to put it right where it needed to go so that we could knock it in. Morgan, your initial thoughts on the game?
Well, Matt, first of all, I want to say thanks for having me. Really excited to be here to talk some Columbus Rising basketball, Matt.
I'm super excited about
all right,
that.
Soccer, though, first?
Soccer first. Oh, okay. Yes, then, all right. Then the Horizon.
The first goal. Later.
I love the Columbus Horizon.
Oh, yeah, who doesn't?
Chris Gent, in the day.
We now know that Smitty hasn't listened to a single podcast that you've been on.
That's true, I do say this every week. Okay. If Chris Gent didn't upset you enough as an Ohio State basketball player, welcome him back to upset you more in the Horizon. First goal, yeah.
Can we do that podcast after this one?
We'll do an after hours after this.
Yeah, Jay Burson.
Yeah.
Corpse. That's the same play we run on every kickoff, be it the first or second half. It's the same way we ended up with that penalty kick against Chicago on July 19th, which is also an ESPN game from The Fray. Which is interesting because Healy and Twellman have now called 3 games at the Fray this year. The Crew scored in the 4th minute, the 2nd minute, and the 1st minute in those 3 games. So,
and it's only the 2nd minute one was only because they had to set up the penalty.
Right.
It's literally just because it takes a couple seconds to do that.
Chicago, Montreal, MetroStar. So that was huge. No away goals, no injuries. 2 goals scored, and Offal doesn't pick up a yellow.
Yeah.
If you are honest with yourself, reality, best case scenario, realistically, that was probably it.
Yeah.
You know, and the scary thing is for New York and Portland and the Burn is that we really didn't play our best soccer. We had some turnovers. Chani was great defensively, but offensively kind of turned the ball over a couple times. Ethan Finley missed Higuain on an absolutely wide open counterattack.
I don't want to talk about that.
but right, that's we still.
Well, that's the only way it could have gone better is if they'd won 3-0, yeah, like converted one of those chances. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, it was still a pretty dominant performance,
and we still played better than they did.
That's right. That Miram shot was unbelievable too.
Miram was the man of the match. It's not even close. He was engaged defensively. He was putting shots on frame. He scored a goal 9 seconds into the goddamn game. I mean, literally, he's the man of the match. I talked to his family before the game, Matt. Let me tell you what, they just got a really nice RV out there in the parking lot. Back to you.
Is that also part of the everything?
Back to
that,
yes.
Oh, the
yes,
back to you. Okay.
Yes. He also loves you and loves the show.
He also hasn't heard the Land Grant bump yet.
So oh God. Worse. Oh, this is just gonna get. This is gonna be a treat for you.
I can't. I'm fully in for whatever's
like,
up. What's happening?
It's like the wife made hamburger helper. And I don't know why they put hamburger in it.
It's
it stands
the wrong
by itself.
Beer sponsor, but I'm up for whatever.
And
so
professional
let's just
lobster lawyer Todd Fichtenberg, enemy of the show, made a bag of cookies. Thanks,
bag
Todd.
Cookies. Thanks, yes. Todd.
Thank you for these.
Wait,
carbon
he added biscuits. He added lobster to his array of animal law.
Yeah, lobster's mate for life, Matt.
Spider horse lawyer yeah. as well.
Doesn't bag of cookies sound like something that an American soccer announcer would try to work in as one of the British soccer things that isn't a thing? Like, oh, that was a bag of cookies, wasn't it? And you're all like,
and we had
I don't
all
think
not,
that's a. I don't think that's a thing.
It's also an unreleased Nirvana album.
Don't they call cookies biscuits over there? Isn't
yeah,
they,
so yeah. it's probably that cookies probably the means
bag
Coors
of biscuits,
or something over in England. I don't know what
and
it
we'd
means.
All laugh and pretend like we knew what they were talking
about.
They
were like, oh, yeah, bag of cookies, totally. Sixes and sevens, I'm with you.
One of the best bags of cookies I've ever seen, Matt.
Apples and pears. So the crew get a good result. Going into this this game in New York, I mean, this is just absolutely huge. A couple of the things that I wanted to touch on as far as this goes before we kind of go off from there. We only had we had one player out. Red Bulls don't get a single yellow. We're playing a full force Red Bull team again next. We're playing a full force Red Bull team again next week.
Not really. We're playing their full force team that they have at the moment, but they're missing Perrineau, which is a huge loss for them. And
that's true.
Still.
And they're now what, like 1-7-3 without him on the season?
Yeah, they are in. That's a big loss. Let's just put it that way. And we're gonna have our center back returning. So I think that is going to swing the game a little bit in our favor more than the first leg.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and emotionally, just from a team emotion perspective, we're going to know now that we have the 7:30 slot whether we are playing for a home game in the MLS Cup Finals.
I mean, it's insane to even think about that.
I know.
By the way, I cannot believe that we have gone this far in the show without just mentioning the fact that this is the 7th anniversary of the 2008 MLS Cup
2008 win. MLS Cup.
And just to think that if the rules would have been the way that they are right now, that game would have been at the Time Crew Stadium instead of in L.A.
Well, a lot of things would have been different, too, because we were playing the Western Conference champion New York Red Bull at that time. And so there was a lot that was kind of screwed up with that. I mean, and
then in the following two seasons, we got eliminated in the East Finals by Colorado and Salt Lake.
Right. Yep, that's exactly right.
Garber!
That's so fun of MLS Cup playoffs, huh?
I'm so glad we don't
ever
have those
changing
rules anymore. Yeah.
No, I know, but it feels like this is great now. I do really like this current setup mostly. Yep. I mean, it's about as good as you're going to get. But I feel like in 3 years we're going to be having something where they arbitrarily play a game in St. Louis for no reason, and that's just where MLS Cup is now all the time. And we're going to, and it'll be at like it'll be where the Cardinals play
fortified underground bunker.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's just
somewhere beneath Leavenworth, Kansas,
because they can't leave it alone for more than 2 minutes without changing something. But
I'm still not counting this as an MLS Cup in Columbus until like it actually happens.
I could think the day
before they're going to be like, Mr. Garber has instituted a new rule, and the game is going to be played in Cleveland.
Soldier Field.
He promised David Beckham about 8 years ago that it would be in Miami if and when he ever gets a club, and he doesn't have – but he's still going to get MLS Cup, and it's going to be tomorrow, and it's going to be in Miami.
Yeah.
And we're like, this is Thursday. How are they going to play it on Friday? He's like, well, that's the rules.
And we told the Portland Timbers supporters about this 6 weeks ago, and they already have like 16 TIFOs made for it, but we didn't tell Columbus until last night at 11:59.
Would you like
left Erica Kress a voicemail?
He's got to be so pissed that, like, you know, the four teams that are left, Portland is obviously the darling child. scenario there. And then you have the MetroStars, the Burn, and the Crew. Just, God damn it!
It's like, where are all these teams that I gifted them their roster so they could be here? They're not here. What happened?
Well, and Portland's the only team that can't host.
Yes, of course. Right.
But that goes into the kind of the point. I was going to bring it up later, but I guess we can kind of talk about it now. Alexi Lalas tweeted out earlier. What's up, Sam? This is making for bad radio. All right. Well, I'm going to tease this then.
Okay, tease it up.
I'm going to tease this, and then we're going to Alexi Lalas.
Then we'll pay off on the tease.
Talking about with Portland, with Dallas, and with Columbus, Moneyball teams. And talking about how that is not good for the league, not good for the league narrative, and not interesting.
No, you totally blew that. What you're supposed to say is a former national teamer has a problem with Crew SC. Yeah. We'll explain when we come back.
They listen through the
crew. Oh, God. That's right. I just got an erection, Matt. I'll be honest.
That's the thing. They listen through the commercials on this thing.
That's right. See there? Good. I like that.
By the way, how's your blood pressure?
Good.
You went Minuteclinic?
It's good.
Got it checked?
Yeah.
We're good?
Minuteclinic, CVS. Fantastic. Go check them out. They're
fantastic.
Great.
Fantastic. T-Bone is a compensated spokesman for the Minuteclinic.
I am. Legally, they have to say that.
Degenerate spokesman.
That's right. Yeah. Man, you guys do listen. I appreciate that.
All right, we're going to come back in a few minutes here. We're going to chat just game atmosphere. We're going to chat about this Alexi Lalas tweet. That isn't an Alexi Lalas tweet. Maybe it was Eric Wynalda. I don't know.
Could be anybody. Wynalda.
We can't talk.
Kobe Jones.
All right, we'll be back in a second. It's the Massive Report. Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my Tata. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I'll be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude.
Hey everybody, here are some New York Red Bulls, Columbus Crew, Reddit posts, in chronological order. This should be a good tactical battle, expecting both coaches to have done a lot of work prepping their teams. Have a lot of respect for this Columbus team, should be enough to get out of there with a tie. Red Bulls drinking game, take a shot every time Zubar makes you cringe. Wow, there is like a 200-yard line just to get in due to extra security. Thanks, ISIS. And then the first goal happens. Bourbon chugging intensifies. You can only go so far without metroing yourself. Death cannot come sooner. Dude, what? Also, is a guy waving a North Korean flag in the crowd? I was on the shitter. I could hear the TV and thought the cheering was a promo. Damn, anybody got a replay? And then the second goal happens at the end of the game. Someone please kill me. Could be worse. You could be a Jets and Nets fan. Like me, LOL. Death, taxes, and getting metroed. Spinning the same records since 1996. Those were your Reddit posts from the match thread on RMLS.
Edition of the Massive Report podcast is brought to you, as always, by Van Grant Brewing Company. Hi there, boys and girls. This is your good pal Morgan Hughes here again to clue you in on three little-known facts about the second leg of the Eastern Conference Finals in Major League Soccer. Little-known fact number one, Chicago has never played in it. Little-known fact number two, Toronto will never play in it. And little-known fact number three, The Metro Stars played in it last year and lost. And now for a well-known fact. Land Grant Brewing Company makes tasty beer. That's right, Greg. Head on down to Land Grant Brewing Company, located right around the corner at 424 West Town Street, and find out why their medium-sized glass containers, which are filled to the brim with delicious intoxicating alcohol, are without question the best way you can spend seven entire days and nights in between legs. Gross, Matt. So sit on down and take a load off on their newly completed porch area. Pass the time by throwing back a greenskeeper or two, and never, ever, ever, ever forget to tell them your friends over at the Massive Report Podcast sent ya.
We're back at segment two of the Massive Report. One quick advertiser service announcement that I forgot to tell Morgan about before the spot. Land Grant Breadcrumbs is available right now at many fine local beer vending establishments, including wherever I went and got a six-pack of beer last night. I can't remember where. It was after the game.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. Beer crumbs. I can't talk today. Beard crumbs. It's their Christmas beer. It's good.
Oh. You did say breadcrumbs.
Yeah, initially. Yeah, beer, I thought you meant
beard crumbs. I thought maybe
there was a bread-making operation going on we didn't know about.
They're also like, making bread now.
Matt, don't feel bad. We'll fix this.
We'll fix it in post.
I figured they called up Blake Compton and said, just build us another building. And he was like, all right, done.
Yeah,
they're like,
it's a bakery.
We just asked you. He's like, it's already done.
Yeah, it's already done.
I finished it. Yeah, it's already done.
That's Blake just uses that time turner so well.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's the Hermione Granger of building construction.
Now, professional now. Beard grower, Blake Compton.
Hey, Blake.
Hi, Blake. Friend of the show.
He is.
So their new Christmas beer's out. That's the only thing that
fantastic.
I wanted to say
Matt,
there.
Can't wait. Back to you.
So a couple of things on the game. Holy crap. That was a pretty awesome crowd. That was just Sam, you were talking about this, I think, on Twitter with 70% of the crowd was standing pretty much the entire match.
Yep, I could see all the way up to probably about 107 on the Nordeck side. Those were all standing, including the upper deck.
I have never seen the upper deck stand for 90 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
I have been out for a crew game.
I don't know if everybody was standing the entire time.
They were. I kept looking up there. Yeah.
Everybody was standing up. Like, of course, after that first goal, you expect everybody to stand up.
Yeah.
But they just stayed standing. They didn't sit down. And I was there for 2008. I don't think I've ever seen that even for 2008.
No.
Because in 2008, too, if I'm not mistaken, that Eastern Conference Final was a weeknight.
It was like a Thursday.
Yeah, right.
It was a Thursday.
I mean, it's just one of those.
It was like 10,000 people.
That's the thing that sucks when they.
Yeah.
It was 14.
Okay,
right, 12. But it was not anywhere close to what it was last night. And it was, that's the thing that I saw them tweet out that was the first time they've sold out a postseason match, which is great. I mean, it's great momentum for the franchise and for the city and everything else. It just sucks that they've done these postseason games for so long on weeknights, and they're really, look, it's just really tough to convince people on a Wednesday night, let's go sit in 25-degree weather. It's a little easier to convince them, hey, plan your day around this. Yeah. You have Sunday,
afternoon especially.
Stay in the warmth, and then go out there for 3 hours, and then come back, and you'll be good.
Well, this feeds into something that I was thinking about talking about it at some point, and I'm glad you're on the show tonight, because I think that you would provide a unique perspective on this.
Be ready to be disappointed. Because I rip all my stuff off of Jim Rome, so go ahead.
Fair enough. I will try to have a take and or not suck, but I can't promise both. So looking at the way that Precourt Sports Ventures has marketed the crew, the story that they have created around the crew since Anthony and Andy Lamborghini and all those guys have come in. Anthony and Andy Lamborghini have since they've come in.
I like that's what you call him, by the
way. Oh, yeah. Andy Lambo. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, we usually just call him Lambo, but, you know, I wanted to make sure you knew who we were talking
about.
Yeah,
okay. Well, no.
I
yeah.
actually use his real name.
Have we ever used his real name?
No. So. It happened at TiVo Sweat.
Lambo
said
is
lock
his
name
real
name was way too complicated to say and spell, so we chose Lamborghini, which is easier.
It's much easier.
That's what he is to me now.
Yeah.
But the narrative that they've created around this team and do you think that has kind of fed into the media having more of a desire to pay attention to this team?
Yeah, I think it feels more like a real product. As mm-hmm. And again, I say this as someone who went to crew games at Ohio Stadium.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've always loved this team.
Well, you can separate your yes. your fandom and your job is, you know.
I'll tell you that in part, I think the fact that they treat this as a big time club mm-hmm. is it was a little surprising mm-hmm. at first when they would what I mean by that, it sounds bad the way I said it, when they sent out emails after like around that time for that announcement, we were so used to getting emails and you would hear about big announcement from the Columbus crew coming up, get out to the stadium, bring your cameras, only credentialed media, blah blah blah, and then you show up and they're like, okay, we have decided that this parking lot is now going to be only half dirt, and we're like, okay, not a big announcement. Like, why would you set this up? It was just
or like the MLS business meetings
right,
will be in town in
just,
2 years,
right, and it was just some of the stuff that they would announce like it was a big deal when they announced that they were selling the team, and that was a big announcement that showed people, oh, okay, so someone's interested in buying the team, and now there's a new direction for it. Let's see what this is. And since then, it has been more when they make announcements, when they do things, there's more of a professional atmosphere to it. Whereas in the past, it was, you know, the Hunt family like, well, I don't know, what are these local yokels going to get excited about? I don't know, is this good? Let's try it. Now you feel like when they make announcements, there actually are, and I'm talking about off the field stuff
yeah.
as well as on the field, but more off the field,
they're
feels
not-
like there's a more of a legitimacy to it. But all that goes away if they're not winning. I mean,
yeah.
as much as all that momentum is good and the naming rights of the stadium and the momentum they've done with the rebrand and all that stuff, if they were a 8th or 9th place team, this, you know, it would be tough to get a mention, you know, about it, let alone to do anything in depth on it. But the fact that you have 21,000 people out there last night, there's a very good chance a championship will be hosted in this town this year, and it won't involve anything to do with OHIO. Like, I mean, that's... Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's something that people in the media are just looking to cover the big thing where the eyeballs and the ears are. So
yeah.
if that's where it is, then that's where they're going
to
go.
It's interesting. It's interesting to me. On Saturday, part of one of the jobs that I have involved me working on campus before the OSU Michigan State game.
Yeah,
and I think you remember. I think you were probably with me. For the Eastern Conference Final against Chicago in 2008, walking to the stadium where Ohio State kids were asking if the crew had a game tonight.
Right, right.
I had people, I'm walking on the other side of the street, and I just happen to have a crew jacket on because it's literally the only clothing I wear. Or I own,
that's
rather.
Great.
I own this and, like, one suit that is, like, my funeral and wedding suit, and that's pretty much it.
And sometimes you get the two confused, and that's awkward.
Well, it depends on who died.
Yeah.
So, but I have people starting, people who are decked out in Buckeye gear, drunk at a frat, starting crew chants. Because they see somebody in a crew jacket across the street. And that, to me, is just night and day from 2008. I really think that, you know, they've created something here, and I, you know.
Last week, I was at Waffle House for lunch, and...
Here we go.
I had my crew jacket on.
All the good stories start this
Yeah, I had my crew jacket on, and...
What
the
do you eat at Waffle House?
It depends. Usually a blueberry waffle with hash browns scattered well.
Do you make them cook them on a separate grill?
No.
Okay. So
that's
you're not that
charm.
Hardcore of a vegetarian.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Okay. No, because he doesn't eat meat because he's a scary person.
Back to my story. Back to my story. So I'm wearing my crew jacket because it was a little bit chilly out. And I The chef, the guy behind the counter, sees me in my crew jacket, leaves the grill, walks over to my table, and starts talking to me about the crew and says, you know, what do you think they're going to do against the Red Bulls? Like, how do you think it's going to go? I had tickets for the Montreal game. I couldn't go. I got called in last minute. But, like, I have tickets for this game. You know, tell me, what do you think? And I talked with this guy about the upcoming game. And this guy is a cook at Waffle House, and he's leaving his job, basically, and totally just, like, screwing up other people's orders so that he can talk crew soccer with me. That never would have happened a couple years ago.
I had a server at Applebee's a couple nights ago.
You didn't go to Applebee's.
Did she have any information on
she was on Big Soccer. Yeah.
And she said that we're getting a pedestrian bridge over the train tracks. So it's all happening, guys.
Well, that's the pedestrian bridge on which Didier Drogba will walk across as he signs his contract with Crew SC.
Correct.
Wait, yes. Is Blake Compton building this pedestrian bridge? Yes. That's what I want to know.
In Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas. Fantastic.
Well, and these things are good. I don't mean to downplay that stuff is good. But it's there's like three stages that it need to occur, and we're in stage two. And this sounds like a terrible business plan, but stick with me. Stage one is no one knows anything about the crew except for us few diehards that have loved them for years, and they have zero traction. Stage two is where we are now, where people are finding out – well, not finding out. They know about it. They don't know everything about it, but they know it's legit. They're not looking at it as, oh, what's this minor league? Yeah. Is this like the Clippers? What is this? And no offense to the Clippers, it's just not on the same level as what Crew SC is. And then there's stage three where, and this is going to take a longer time, but if I see somebody wearing OSU gear, I don't immediately stop them and go, oh my gosh, you too? Wow. Like, there will come a time, and I think this is good, when people will see us wearing crew gear around and go, yeah, me too. And then, and it's just, it's a part, it's just as common as seeing someone wearing a Blue Jacket sweater or seeing someone wear a, you know, an Aerosmith t-shirt or, like, I don't know, whatever. Like, you don't stop somebody in the crowd every time they wear something different and go, oh my gosh. It's good because it shows right now people are really gravitating to what this product is. But my goal, and I've always said this about MLS fans too, is when you meet an MLS fan, someone who actually knows Chicago Fire, they know Toronto FC, they know the rivalries, you're like, oh, hey, I don't care that you were for the team I hate. I'm just glad you're a fan. Yeah. At some point, that's when the sport progresses, when it goes, oh, yeah, screw that guy. He's a Chicago fan. I hate that guy. Like, you don't feel that necessity to go, oh, my gosh, another person like me, one out of a million, I got to go become this guy's best friend. Now it's just like, oh, yeah, here's a soccer fan over there. Good.
My three steps are a lot like yours. Step one is people don't know what the jersey is that you're wearing. Step two is they constantly ask you when they see you wearing it if you play for the crew.
Which, I have a story about that.
Dude, go ahead.
And then step three is almost like step one, but they know what it is.
Yes.
And they don't ask you about it.
Yes, they just, oh, you're a fan of Crew SC. Right. Sam said I have a story about it, and I do. This happened two times where I wore a crew jersey. And again, look at me. If you can't, obviously this is on podcast. I weigh well north of 250 pounds. I got asked twice, do I play for the crew? And I had to say to one of the people, I said, do you watch soccer? And they go, no, not really. And I'm like, well, guys like me typically are not the body type that play soccer, just FYI. Like, the fact, that was the most bizarre thing, because they obviously knew the crew were soccer. Yeah. But they didn't know enough about soccer to know that fat guys typically don't wear the jersey around if they are a former player or current player as well. Most guys don't do that too. But like in your case, obviously, you could pass for a crew player if no one
knew. This is what, when we get to that final step where people don't assume that you play for the team, though, it's going to kill Bidmead's chances with drunk sorority girls this bar.
Accents are different.
I'm a trialist.
I love that. But you could fake the accent.
I was in line at Wendy's on Saturday.
I heard. Yeah. You can't.
I'm bad at that.
Like 2011, I was going through Wendy's just tragically hungover on a Sunday morning. I'm wearing a crew jersey. And they're like, oh, you play for the crew? And I couldn't take it. I was like, do you think professional athletes only wear their jerseys when they're, you know, like once you sign for a team, that's the only thing you can wear?
Well, right. I mean, it would be ridiculous if you saw Derek Jeter wearing a Yankees jersey, you would go, that's the weirdest thing in the world if you saw that guy walking around.
That's why he had those really ugly pit stains on his jersey. Because
he never took it off. He's like, well, I make millions of dollars, but this is the only clothing I own.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you guys this. How do you guys handle it? because obviously the playoff format, while to soccer there's not a ton of playoffs, most of international soccer, we are aware of how two-leg home-and-homes work, being soccer fans. How do you handle it when you talk to people and they go, okay, how does this playoff work? Like, because that's what I find is now people, that's the next barrier is, so wait, Crew SC have to, what, win a game? And it's right. Like, no, they have to win, well, because it's a two-leg play. They're used to best of three, best of five, best of seven. How do you guys handle that? Because I'm curious to see how everyone handles it.
I explain it to him very simply. There are four quarters in this game that we're playing. Two of them are in Columbus. Two of them are in the city that we're playing. And whoever has the most goals at the end usually wins.
That's good.
And I say, but at this point, if you just understand that it's a four-quarter game that takes 180 minutes to play, you're leaps and bounds above many, many people that are watching this game, and that's really the functional knowledge that you need right now.
Are you doing that so they're more confused after you talk to them? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yes, Morgan.
Because
yes.
I know exactly how this works, and now I have no idea what's happening.
Yes.
I ran into this like six times today at the office, and what I just made a spreadsheet with like a matrix, and I just saved it to my phone. I'm like, this. This is how we win. All the yellow squares, good. Red squares, bad. One gray square, means overtime.
So yeah. Basically, you could show them at least there's a good percentage that we're going to advance and we're going to win this.
Right.
Well, how far out did you extrapolate?
10.
Did you
extrapolate? Which was dumb. Yeah.
You're like, wow, we're going to win. There's no way we could lose.
There was like a 9-7 matchup.
Yeah. I was talking to Mike Flick about this today because he made one that went to 6, and it was way better than mine. And I was like, yeah, god damn it. Because mine looks like, yeah, Red Bulls have a lot of chances to win this, like 10-0. And yeah.
Those common 10-0 games you see in MLS all the time.
It happens, yeah.
I tried to explain it to people. I actually had three different CSC workers approach me after the game and say, what are the scenarios? These guys, two of them are in front of Nordec all the time. They both said, I knew nothing about soccer when I took this job at the beginning of the season, and now I am like a big fan.
Yeah,
what
do the
has to happen,
us.
And what time is the game? Because I'm going to watch it on TV. And these guys have gone from just earning a paycheck at this thing to being real fans, and I think that does speak to the quality of our team and kind of what we're doing on and off the field. But the way I tried to explain it was, okay, you have an aggregate score, so you add up the score for this game and then the game that we're going to play next weekend, and then whoever has the most goals advances. If it's a tie score, it goes to who scored the most goals in the other team's stadium, and I just kind of left it at that. But yeah, the level of interest in this town for these games is just going crazy. My brother and I show up early to every game to set up Nordeca, to hang all the banners and everything, and we're used to arriving 4 hours early, 3 hours early sometimes before kickoff, and the parking lot's usually pretty empty by that time. When we got there yesterday, we had trouble finding a parking spot where we usually park because it was already so full of people. And the weather was not good. I mean, it's not like this was a sunny day and people were out hanging out. It was really cold.
Yeah.
And this parking lot was full of people who were there early, who were in the mood early, starting to get in the mindset of, okay, playoff game. Haven't seen anything like it. It was really, really impressive.
I think that people who are casual fans, because look, as much as it's great to be the person who's there for every game, I hate to say it, I'm not a casual fan as far as my caring, my interest level. I watch all the games. I have Time Warner, so I'm one of the 8 people who get to watch the games. But I also, I have kids. We live in Marysville now, so like getting to games, it's just they're not at ages yet where it's worth buying a bunch of tickets to take them and then they're going to scream and cry and leave at halftime. So we don't do it. But I've become able to understand a little bit more why you have to appeal to that person who doesn't buy Nordecki tickets and why they, or they don't tailgate at every game. They don't have a season parking pass. Like, you've got to get those people to know when the meaningful games are. And I think that's what Crew SC's really done a good job of, is saying, as much as we hate it, hey, this guy is famous internationally. He's going to be here, and we're going to beat him. And by the way, the guy who's going to do that is going to be Kai Kamara, who's an MVP candidate. That's, as much as anything else, I think that's what, and we've talked about this before, when Brian McBride was here years and years ago, people could who didn't know anything about soccer could say, see that guy? He's going to score goals. And then pretty much every time he went out there, there was a good chance he was going to score a goal. And then the kids and the families could go, yeah, okay, see, dad knows what he's talking about. Everybody goes home happy. Kai Kamara is that type of player. Yeah. Federico Higuain is that type of player where you can say, this guy's world class. And I think the more, as much as it's great to build a good defense, and you know, Will Trapp is just one of the best young players in all of U.S. soccer, and all those things are great. You need, and he's, and I'm not saying that it's bad to have guys like that, but you also need someone who can say, that guy will put the ball in that net right there. And that's what people understand as soccer is, as you get a lot of people who watch the international game, they don't need that. They just, mm-hmm. but that's not, you're not, you shouldn't be worried about getting those people, because once the quality of the league is up, they'll be there. And I think the quality of the league is much better than people give it credit for, but you know, those people don't need that one guy to gravitate towards. They'll just go and watch the game. Yeah. The casual fans need that one or two guys they can point to and say, oh yeah, that guy, I've heard about him.
Yeah, and I mean, who did we really have? Even going back like 2 years, I mean, we had Higuain still, but then right below that, I mean, who were the other stars?
Obviously, Andres Mendoza. I mean, yeah. I mean, globally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Keon George plays for two national teams.
This is, yep. when you look at this squad and you put it head-to-head against any other crew side, I cannot think of a more complete team. I really cannot think of, when you look at the starting 11 that we have right now versus the starting 11 that we had any other year, I would take this team over any of those in terms of in a head-to-head matchup. I really think that this is the best crew team that we have ever seen.
You would take it over 08?
I would take it over 08.
Those late 2000 teams, though, had a better defense, I would say, than what this team does. Or at least better back four. Maybe not overall better midfield, things like that, but better back four.
It's super difficult. DC United existed in the late 90s, or you know,
You're exactly right.
They killed four stars above our crest. Yes. Three at least.
Yeah. Crew, no, the crew.
We'll get to four stars before they get another one. That's
that feels good to say.
Yeah.
I like how that feels.
That's my stone cold lock of the game brought to you by Toyota.
I want to take a bath in whatever you just said. That sentence, I'm going to just languish in that for a while. That's
mostly
great.
Because of the real threat of feral raccoon attacks.
That's true.
Yeah.
Half of their starting lineup has rabies right now. They just don't know it yet.
Yeah, that's why they all have
Did
red eyes.
Did you say rabies or Arby's?
Rabies and Arby's.
I might just be hungry.
They went to Arby's, but then they got attacked by a raccoon when they brought the Arby's back to RFK Stadium. Yeah. So now they have rabies as well. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back in a few minutes, break down a tweet sent by a former national team player, blah, blah, blah. People don't listen to this show
double
in reverse.
Tees.
The double tees. We're going to do that. We're going to talk some spider horse law with Todd Fichtenberg. It's also not a thing. And USA is going to be playing a World Cup qualifier somewhere, possibly Columbus. I'll tell you more about it in just a minute. It's the Massive Report.
Vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life. When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside, you gotta take a stand.
Back at his segment number three of the Massive Report. Greg under the weather tonight, so not doing cards. I just have one quick Greg Benson card that he did want to have me just pass on to everybody. Crikey! Red card to laryngitis! If my name's Greg Benson and you're in my seat, I remember play on.
Greg is literally hitting his head against the wall right now. I'm not even joking. He was hitting his head against the wall.
I gave a red card to laryngitis. That was good, and I can't do an Australian accent. You know this.
The look he's giving Matt right now.
Two questions for Greg Benson. Is this seat yours, and is this seat a knife? Okay. All right, back to you, Matt.
Yes and no.
I got a text message earlier today, which I think a lot of us got as well. We're going to get a little bit more details as far as tickets and things along those lines, but we did get a Crew SC alert today, which I find mostly pretty decently useful alerts, more than the severe weather alerts when they tell me that there's flash flooding three counties away. So, I like these alerts. USA versus Guatemala 2018 FIFA World Cup qualifier, which is going to be happening March 29th, 2016 at Mafre Stadium.
Can I make an incredibly bold prediction?
Yes.
Here we go.
Okay, I'm really going out on a limb with this one. I think that Ethan Finley and Will Trapp are going to get called into U.S. national team camp in January, and I think both of them will be in the squad when the U.S. men's national team comes to Mafre Stadium.
Hot take alert, everyone.
Hot take.
We got a hot take.
I think it's going to be. I think regardless of who the coach is.
Well, Jason Kreis, I'm sure, will call him in.
Trapp and Finley in the senior squad.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
I think they have to call Finley.
He
has to.
He should have had to, like, I don't know, two or three times ago, but he just, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to give two craps about Ethan Finley, which
sucks. I think he'll call him in the camp cupcake squad, and I think he'll do well, and I think he'll get called back, and I think the same thing for Trapp. I think they'll both be in the January camp.
Trapp makes more sense because Kyle Beckerman, we just need to let his corpse float down the river of terrible failure.
Yes, I mean, but his he's not from Germany, but his name sounds very German. I think that's what Jürgen is really looking at, is anybody who has any German tie whatsoever. Beckerman just still sounds.
Yeah. Yeah, Jermaine Jones played there, so he's still in it. But Jermaine Jones is a terrible human being, and Kyle Beckerman is old.
Round here.
What was that?
He looks like Adam Duritz. That's
what
why.
Was that?
Adam Duritz slept with Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston in the mid-90s, Matt. How dare you?
So are you guys, I mean, first of all, it's obvious that they needed to be able to sell out one of these games, to, like, sell all the tickets.
Yes.
Which, so you go to Columbus.
Yes.
Because this is one of those ones that they wouldn't even open the upper bowl in Seattle for.
Because which is so disappointing.
They'd open certain sections.
Which is so disappointing, though, that you guys can relate to how much I hate Seattle.
Yes.
But I hate them with a white-hot passion. I try to explain this eloquently, and I fail miserably whenever it comes up on the fan. But, oh, God, do I hate Seattle fans.
No, I think you do a good job of it.
I hate the 12s. I hate every aspect of their fandom where they think they're better than everybody else. They think they've invented something that everybody was already doing.
Yes.
Ugh.
It's a
Sorry
terrible
to go off on the tangent, but
wasn't the 12s like a ripoff of some college team as well?
Yes, they have to pay royalties to the 12th man to Texas A&M. Yes, they actually pay them money for that.
Is that something that's even remarkable?
Yeah, we would never do something like that in Columbus. Hashtag We Are the Fifth Line.
That's right. We in the Midwest don't pull that kind of crap.
Noise the ever loving. Ever living crap out of me. We're like,
I just said it wasn't trademarkable. I didn't say that people don't do it. There's a difference, Morgan.
We love you, Blue Jackets.
I'm sorry, I finally got to it.
Thank you, Sam.
There it is.
Oh, Sam is right on top of that one. Good
I don't
stuff.
Care what happens. It makes me feel good.
So I'm very excited about the national team game. I'm just as excited that Seattle isn't getting it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited that we can. Do we have the ability to do that zip code thing where it's like if you're from a certain zip code, you can't buy tickets? Because I would find all the Washington zip codes and just immediately, on principle, block
them. They're not going to fly to Columbus for a game against Guatemala.
Well, they will if they think they can impose their will on our fans us how to be
they
fans.
US soccer flies them out.
No, this is good. That's good. I didn't even think about this today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to do the presale through AO again, aren't they?
Yeah.
AO has already put out tweets about it.
It'll be fine.
Oh, my sweet Jesus.
See? This is all right.
We'll figure it out like we did last time. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
There will be solutions.
The way you say there will be solutions makes me think they involve violence. And I like that.
I can
it's
I
very
can
calm, very like, there will be. If you had a Russian accent, it would be even better. Like, there would be solutions.
I can neither confirm nor deny these accusations.
There would be no problems.
There will also be a photo posted on Twitter later of Alex fishing in the Olentangy shirtless.
I'll never forget. I'll never forget.
Riding a bear.
Riding a bear.
While fishing.
Sitting on that conference call with the Seattle Capos, and, you know, we're like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
We've had, this will be literally the same amount of people as every other time. They're like, oh, yeah, but there's way more supporters this time. And I said, if you sell U.S.-Mexico tickets in Crew Stadium through PeggysQuiltingClub.com, it doesn't mean that there are more quilting enthusiasts at the game.
I think they should only sell tickets at the Flag Ladies Flag Show.
That's right.
For the Guatemala game.
And you can only purchase your tickets in the back. You have to walk around to the back, and that's where you purchase them.
Free parking in the back.
Oh, yeah, I like the Flag Lady. Let's give a shout out to the Flag Lady.
That's what I'm doing.
Oh,
I got right
my shout out. She can pay for it.
She's getting a sponsorship packet. By the way, if you want a sponsorship packet, email mattgoshard@gmail.com. Looking for extra sponsors for next year.
I like
giggity,
how
giggity.
You subtly worked that in there.
That's didn't at all. I mean, I'm subtle like a hammer.
Medium-sized plastic bags filled to the brim with flags.
I got. Well, let me just say this. I had my
Morgan
my,
only knows how to write one spot.
That's right.
I wanted to bring a France flag to the game for the victims in Paris, and I went to the Flag Lady store and they had one, and it was very nice. And they also gave me a little lapel pin with the American flag and the France flag, like the same pin.
Aww.
It's just like a because I guess they liked what I was doing there too, so they were like, "Hey, have this as like a free thing." So Flag Lady, nice people working there, local business. They also do the crew flags, the Ohio flag that's black and gold. So good people.
I was kind of not upset at them at all because they said they could order it, but I needed it immediately because I was looking for an Indiana flag a couple of years ago when I was going down to watch a Cincinnati Cyclones hockey game because
As
they were
we
playing.
All, we were all there with.
They
oh,
were
yeah.
playing the Evansville Icemen.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why they didn't have them because they were sold out because everyone wanted one.
Exactly.
Indiana flags are in high demand in Ohio.
They really are. They really are.
You just have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell are we talking about?
I have no idea. Yeah. So USA Guatemala, obviously we're excited about this.
Yeah,
it's not on the level of USA Mexico, but I think it really is on the level of
it's like another
USA
Jamaica.
Yeah, it's another USA Jamaica,
and it doesn't mean for everybody freaking out on the internet, on the Nordica Facebook page only. It does not mean that we're not getting USA Mexico.
No,
we got
Jamaica last time.
Yeah,
and then also got USA Mexico.
What it means is the United States needs to win, so they're coming home.
Yeah,
this is where they go when they need a victory.
Yeah,
and they don't want to have to screw around with any weird crowd situations. They know it'll be great.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. It'll be fine.
I tweeted this today, but it's my favorite statistic. Not only is the national team undefeated in Columbus, Ohio. I think it's what have we played now? This will be the 11th or 12th game.
I think it's 12.
12.
I think it's 12.
Grand total, all teams that have come in here to play the United States combined, they've scored one goal.
Yeah.
One time.
And it wasn't Mexico.
And it was Jamaica in 2004.
Yep.
It was a tie.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's crazy talk.
It's fantastic, is what it is.
This is a fortress.
Right.
That's what it is.
Are we going to have to pass out flyers before that game that says no matter what the scoreline is at the end, it's not Dos Acero?
No, because people will do it anyway. It's not worth it.
I'm willing to go to Kinko's before
it will make no difference.
We're doing it for yesterday's game.
I was walking out of Crew Stadium. I heard people going, Dos Acero. I was like, oh, my God. This is soccer in America now. We just have to accept it, that this is what happens when a sport becomes popular.
No, it's happens when the people running the sport
the hardcore
on a
people.
League and on a national team level create buzzwords and don't create context around said buzzwords.
I think that is all of American sports. Yeah. Like, that is literally everything. Like, for example, the Seven Nation Army thing, didn't that start in, like, Penn State? I mean, at least in football?
Yep.
And yet now everywhere you go.
But it started in Italian football as well.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, but people just, when someone gets an idea, they're like, oh, yeah, let's do that thing, that's easy. And
but I'm not going, I'm not leaving a Colts game against the Bears and yelling, Hooday.
Well, that's good, Matt, because that wouldn't make any sense.
You might. Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
But you might.
No, it doesn't. Might,
Dos Acero does not make any damn sense.
No, it's
Columbus
two, it's,
is
it's
playing
two to
New
nothing.
York.
In 10 years,
bro,
you might
it's
be
two to
your
nothing.
Day.
It's a Crew Stadium. Don't you get the reference? Two to nothing. Duh, bro. Come on. I'm playing that guy, so you know that guy exists because he does exist.
I know he drinks here a lot.
This is
that's
gonna,
fine.
It's fine,
and that's good. I mean, I'm not saying that I want to be that guy. I'm just saying that guy does exist, and yeah, we have to learn to coexist.
But.
Like the bumper sticker.
Can I just point out the obvious here that Dos Acero is actually a thing in another language, and sometimes people are just going to say it, and it's okay, Matt?
Yeah. It's okay. It's okay if you're just saying things in another language. Yes, that's totally fine.
You walked by a group of Hispanic Crew fans, and you're like, how dare you? And
that's
they're
exactly
like,
right.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we know that Matt is the son of Dorothy Mantooth Goshard, who is an incredible racist. So I just want to make sure
Dorothy
you understand.
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint, first of all.
It's not what I read on the bathroom wall, Matt. Back to you.
The back to you I enjoy quite immensely. Yeah. Thank you very much for adding that to this
but
podcast.
I do think as soccer fans, we all need to accept that the pinnacle of our sport in America is more likely going to resemble NFL than it's going to resemble the Premier League.
That's
something that we're
right.
just going to have to deal with. That's the way the country is.
So
and,
Alex
and so
is saying the Sounders are on the right track.
Well...
I'm saying the Sounders are kind of the model that a lot of teams are looking at. So yeah,
they're on the track that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I do. If we can do without flame shooting out of the goal whenever we score, I could deal with some of the other things that they do. I don't want to see flames coming out of the goal when. You know, someone scores for the U.S. and it's against Mexico, and it's like, yeah, flames, here we go. And then,
then a monster truck
who
just does
yeah,
a burnout.
Who was the president in Idiocracy? Terry Crews' character.
Yeah,
did you see Idiocracy?
Yeah, yes.
I can't remember the president's name, but that's
Donald Trump.
He comes out on the monster truck with yes.
And then they start pouring Gatorade on the field at Quest Field.
I do think that we have ownership that's smart enough that if they added flamethrowers and
Mondo
we pitched
a
fit about
drink.
It. They would like get rid of the flamethrowers. Like they would work with us on stuff like that. So
I would be okay.
I think
Lambo
would take them.
If they did flamethrowers, I'd be okay if they were not anywhere near the scoreboard, and like on top of the stage maybe.
No,
like in the corners by the stage.
I don't want
flames
anywhere.
If they did flames, well, I'm not saying I want them. I'm just saying if they did them.
Here's the good news about the soccer culture. If it does become more like the NFL fandom than the EPL fandom. The downside is, yes, you are going to have a lot of, hey, bro, Dos Acero, you know what I mean, bro? Like, there's going to be a lot of that. Upside is not as many, like, Chelsea grins being handed out outside of the stadium and people, like, beating the crap out of each other. Like, yeah. I mean, there's give and take with that. Yeah. We probably won't go through some of
Wiggles
the fan
got...
culture that they went through in, like, the 80s and stuff like that. Like,
as long
so
as we don't, you know, promote the Browns or the Bills to MLS, we should be fine. I went to a Browns and Bills game a couple years ago.
Oh,
it was like a Thursday night game. Oh, my God. What is that?
I bet you the Bills would still beat the Chicago Fire 1-0.
Oh, yeah.
So,
not finals,
or,
though.
Or 7-0, depending on what rules you use.
Oh, that's true.
No. We have the Bills in MLS. They're called the Revolution.
All right, we're going to take a break. Before we do, though, because you have to leave and you can't stay for the last segment,
yeah,
is what I've been told. I want to get your score prediction.
I said it to you right
you
before
did,
we
yes,
did.
Yes. It's what your agent said to me on the phone. He's like, why do you have him on the show this long? He's a star.
You're killing the magic.
That's when you know you're big time, I don't have that, is when you have an agent where you can go to someone's face and be like, oh, yeah, that sounds great, I'm going to do that. And then you call your agent and say, tell him I'm not doing it. And then he yells at that person. That's the big time.
That's Paul Keel's level.
That's ESPN level. Yeah. That's when you get on the main network, not there.
Yeah.
Anyway, what were you saying? I don't know.
No, your prediction for second leg.
Pain.
No, I think it's
Clubber Lang.
I think it's I think Crew SC find a goal, and I think that's all they need. I think they keep fewer than four. So
God, I
yeah,
hope
right,
so.
Right. So I will say they advance on the back of a 1-1 score.
Okay,
I'll say yeah.
Fair enough. We're gonna
on
take
aggregate 3-1.
We're gonna take a break. If Red Bulls do get anywhere near in danger of that, I have it on good authority. Morgan is going to run on the field and just stab the ball and just sit down and just go mine for 45 minutes.
While
and
screaming,
then...
screw you, Tembiaka Batuka. Yeah. Ruin my dreams again.
We'll be back in a minute. It's the Massive Report.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans.
And we're back at his segment number four of the Massive Report. We are brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. A couple of quick housekeeping things. Number one, Morgan Hughes is awful. Number two, thank you so much for Smitty for coming on the show. Make sure to check him out. He's on from 3 to 6 every weekday on Common Man and Company on 97.1 The Fan. They talk about the Buckeyes a lot. Just warning you.
And it's great.
Don't bitch at him about that, because that's his job. So, but super cool dude. The original host of this podcast, actually. So there's that. When it was Smitty, Chris Almaki, and Sam. And Patrick.
And Matt. Bernhardt.
And Matt Bernhardt. Yeah.
We can all agree that we're happy that that terrible era of Columbus podcasting is over. Matt or Sam, don't turn on my microphone, please.
Oh, do it.
I actually have a microphone now, and I will turn you off.
I respect you.
So the one thing that I wanted to chat about real quick, and I'm actually trying to pull up the other tweet from him, but Alexi Lawless the other day did post, and I'm just going to go into this, average U.S. sports fan doesn't care about quote-unquote Moneyball MLS teams. This is a battle for relevancy and money. Names and personality resonate. I actually tweeted back at Alexi on this, and I said that when the MLS corporate controls the narrative and not the individual teams, that's obviously the case, because MLS corporate is going to try to sell you on teams full of large money stars that don't gel well together, i.e. NYCFC. And numerous other teams that they put together, every Toronto team that's existed other
Orlando.
Than potentially this year. Orlando is another good example of that. But I wanted to get just hot takes on this. Just hot takes. That's it. Alex looks like he disagrees with me adamantly.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
So you agree with Alexi or you agree with me? Okay.
I agree.
Well, what do you say?
Well, I think this goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the last segment where we were saying that our sport is moving more in the direction of NFL and less in the way of the Premier League. I think names do matter, and I think that whether the player is good on the pitch or not doesn't matter if you are a occasional crew attendee who watches soccer when there's nothing else on and buys tickets when there are big names in town. If you have a guy like David Beckham coming to town, you're going to show up. If you have a guy like Giassi Zardes coming to town, you're probably not. So I do think that matters, and I think Zardes is as good of a player as Beckham was. They obviously play different positions, but I do think that if you have a big name, that puts the casual fan in the stands, and unfortunately or fortunately,
is MLS still at a level where they really need to do that much pandering though?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Here's the problem.
Last year our playoff attendance was what, 6,000, 7,000? I mean, we are not. Just because we've had one good year of attendance doesn't mean that this is going to be this way forever. I think we need to keep pushing it, I think
it's going to, because I think that Anthony Precourt and company have flipped the script.
Well, I think
that they have 100% figured out how to market to the Columbus the Columbus metropolitan area, which has not never happened with Hunt Sports.
And that
Group.
Might be the case here in Columbus, that we have people who are good enough at their jobs that they can put people in seats. But I think at the soccer landscape overall, we are still at a point where there are a lot of fans who have very low information about the sport that they're watching. And I think that as long as that's the case, you're going to have people who, you know, as long as I'm getting approached by Waffle House chefs who are saying, hey, what do you think about the game? There's going to be a spot in this league for your Andrea Pirlos, your David Beckhams, players like that. I think Alexi's right. It's a lot easier to sell tickets if you have a big name.
But he's not concerned about selling tickets.
Well, he's talking about relevancy.
Yeah. Which is completely different than selling tickets.
The problem is, Alexi Lawless is right. You know, he is. Based on the business model that MLS has built, Columbus, the Burn, the Metro Stars, and, you know, I guess the Timbers probably don't fall into that. It's quote-unquote bad for the consumer that they're creating. And to that point, I would say be careful in business how you grow. Don't grow too fast, and don't grow with your consumers needing absurdity. The type of fan that MLS is creating when they create these NYCFCs and these Orlandos and these Seattles, they're creating a fan that, you know, goes from 2,500 people one night, in the case of Seattle, to 65,000 the next night. The 63,000 that weren't there, you know, why are they there? Because they're being fed these big name players and these expectations of 700 cup victories. When they don't get it, you are far more likely to go from 65,000 back down to 2,500 in Seattle than you would from 21,000 in Columbus to 9,000.
I disagree.
Seattle, though, has not been fed. They've not been fed big name players, quote unquote. They've been fed a narrative.
They've been fed some big name players.
No.
Well,
They've gotten big name players. They've been fed a narrative since that team joined MLS.
Okay, let's say this: if you're not going to read too far into 22,000 people coming to Moffitt Stadium for last night's game, then you also can't read too far into 9,000 people coming into Moffitt Stadium on 2 days' notice.
Yeah. Yep. No, I completely agree. My thing is, if you have a big-name player, let me talk about Seattle for a second, and I hate to compliment them, but I think what they've done is they've gotten a lot of people exposed to the sport of soccer. And I think that's half the battle, is getting somebody who is a football fan to give soccer an honest shot. And I think we see this every time that the World Cup is rolling around. You have a bunch of people who know virtually nothing about the sport. They give it a shot. They watch it. They're like, hey, this is actually really cool. And then those people stay.
Who led the league in attendance in 1996, Alex?
The Columbus Crew did.
Yeah, they sure did.
Yeah.
Who was the first team in Major League Soccer?
Columbus Crew.
Yeah, Columbus Crew were the first team in Major League Soccer because there was a precedent set of you had to sell 10,000 season tickets, and the Crew did it
first.
They were the only ones.
1,500.
Yep. They were the only ones.
Yeah,
they were the only
before ones. It was even a thing.
Yeah.
So the precedent, this has happened before. It happens in a lot of markets. The new trendy thing is cool, and it happened in Columbus, and it's happening all over the country right now.
It happened with the Blue Jackets as well.
It sure shit did. Now, we're definitely in a different era now where soccer is like, you know, it's acceptable.
Yes.
The World Cup is huge. Yep. So the likelihood of that dive bomb happening, you know, like it did in Columbus and in Dallas and Kansas City and everywhere else of the original.
All of the MLS 1.0.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
It's not as high. Yeah, you know. It probably isn't going to happen. But again, I caution you against creating the type of consumer that you're creating with these 2.0 teams. 3.0 teams.
Yeah.
Manage expectations. Don't walk in to Step Brothers expecting Casablanca.
Because the 2.0 teams are going to buy tickets no matter what. Toronto does not have any shortage of season ticket holders waiting to buy tickets, and they have done nothing. Sam,
you know, I think the usage of the term Moneyball and the association with well-known players is not, maybe it's not exactly what he meant, because you can get well-known players obviously without playing Moneyball. You're gonna, and actually, unfortunately, the league by its own action inflated the price of these later in their term players in order to bring them to MLS. Okay, so but they only brought them in for marketing purposes. But the, when you overinflate it that much, are you really making any money off of these big names that you're marketing? That's number one. Number two, I don't think many Crew fans specifically have noticed this. We always begged about on HSG for not opening the purse strings and paying for players. But if you look at our current roster, you realize that Precourt Sports Ventures actually has opened the purse and spent a lot more than we have expected.
Well, of course they have.
It just haven't been that splashy splint. It's been a very methodical, very studied spending. If this player is not going to give us this value, then we're not going to buy them.
Yeah, that's
so
Moneyball.
If you look at, well, but Moneyball is the least is trying to get the best player for the least amount of value. I'm just saying player and equivalent value,
thrifty in comparison.
Yeah,
thrifty or studious.
Yeah,
Six Sigma.
We could
of
still we
sports
could,
world.
We could but, we could double yeah, so, our payroll so, and we would still look thrifty in comparison.
You know, look Toronto. At look yeah look at our exactly look at our yeah. payroll compared to Toronto. We don't have the names, but and we have a much smaller payroll. But we are achieving, obviously, a lot more.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's because we're good we're or because
always,
it's Toronto,
well,
but it's Toronto.
Toronto yeah.
But you get the point. I understand where are you asked, is this league still in need of big names? Yes, because it's in the middle of phase two.
But like also every about, league is
but
in
we
the
talked
need
about,
of big names.
But we talked about these three phases, okay? In other leagues, you also have people that are coming in to see these academy players that they've been watching grow. And they want to see them play for the big club or see them go here or see them go there. You know, they are the generator of the big names.
Yeah, it's a different consumer, though.
Exactly. It is a different consumer, though. But that's the thing, is that you can't compare the consumer from other leagues to the consumer in MLS when you consider the landscape of sports that is in the U.S., whether it's baseball, whether it's hockey, whether it's football, whether it's whatever, you know, whatever. Any of those. Whether it's basketball. I mean, you hear about these basketball. Think about it in terms of basketball. You hear about these basketball phenom kids years while they're in junior high. Okay? Before they even make it to the NBA. You don't hear that with MLS. But your last one was Freddie Adu, and we all know how that went.
Well, he's selling vacuum cleaners now.
I mean,
so good on him.
He's still only 17. Give him a chance, you know?
The one thing that I want to say, you brought up basketball, and I think this is interesting, and it's a different take from the way that MLS handles things, is that you hear about the Oklahoma City Thunder, you hear about the Memphis Grizzlies, you hear about a lot of the smaller market, because the NBA has done a very good job of getting into smaller markets that have not been saturated by other professional sports leagues. You look at that, MLS is really putting their money in, with the exception of Orlando, really putting their money in the big market teams. Really, you know, your Torontos, your New Yorks, your LAs, not Chicago for some reason. We don't know why.
Chicago spent a lot of money on designated players. It just hasn't really panned
out
for them.
It hasn't done anything.
Well, also,
for
NBA, them. The NBA has a footprint in all those big areas already. Mm-hmm.
I think this is an important point, though, when we're talking about Chicago's a good example of how this can go wrong. I think if you're a team and you use your designated player spots for – and you're trying to build around these guys, I don't think that's really what those spots are for. I mean, when you look at the teams that are left in the league right now, the top 18 players, highest paid players in Major League Soccer, are not in the playoffs anymore. They've already been knocked out. So none of these big-name guys are there. A lot of the teams that buy those big-name guys lean on them way too much. So, you know, Toronto without Michael Bradley in top form is not very good. Without Josie in top form is not very good. But at the same time, they spent really well on Jovinko, and they spent a boatload of money on him, and he transformed their team. He was arguably the best player in the league. I mean,
also,
it's a toss-up between him and Kai Kamara.
Let's remind ourselves that last year in the conference finals was L.A., Seattle, New York, and Boston. So...
Yeah,
this is possibly and almost certainly an aberration. Let's
it could
enjoy
be.
It while
yeah,
it
yes. no, totally.
So these money players,
or
do
it's
going
to happen every year, and Columbus is always going to be in the Eastern Conference Final forever. I'm fine with that as well.
So they definitely help off the field. I think we all agree on that. But I think they do help on the field as well if you spend the money right. If you sign an Andrea Pirlo when your team needs the complete opposite player of Andrea Pirlo, he's going to hurt your team. But if you're Orlando and you sign Kaká, if you're LA Galaxy and you sign Robbie Keane, I think stuff like that, it's going to benefit you on and off the pitch.
Fair enough. All right, we still have one more thing to talk about, and that is that the Columbus Crew play your 2008 Western Conference champion New York Red Bulls next Sunday on Fox Sports 1?
Fox Sports 1.
The 7:30 slot, which it just – that's weird.
It's awesome. I love it because the 5 o'clock game now is Portland-Dallas, so
yeah,
we going into the 7:30 game –
We know what's happening.
Yeah. For where the cup's going to be played. It's brilliantly played, MLS.
I want to make a request to the front office, and I'm guessing they will not listen to this or accept the request. But
they will definitely listen to this, but go ahead.
Something that I think would be really cool, if you're listening, Andy Lambeau, if you're listening, Mr. Precourt, I think what they should do is they should open the gates early and let us watch the game on the big screen, on the scoreboard. That'll get your fans in the game early. Stadium will be packed ahead of time. People will get to watch the game, and assuming that Portland wins, everybody will be pumped up. And so you're going to check all those boxes that you want. You want people.
You realize the game's in New York, right?
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. I'm tired, Matt.
Alex, have a Snickers.
I didn't even realize that. I was just kind of
yeah.
Like,
Morgan,
this sounds good.
Morgan was nodding along, so I was like, I think I'm.
Yeah. I'm very confused. Like yeah. I'm like I already have travel plans for next Sunday. I'm like.
See,
yeah,
I can't.
Is something wrong?
See, I can't go.
We're all going to be there. And we were like, this sounds great.
Yeah, this sounds great. This sounds like an amazing idea. Let's go to Cruz Stadium beforehand and then watch the game.
That would still be cool, though, to watch it on.
No, I think
if we all got to sit on the pitch.
It's a very cool idea.
Let everybody sit on the pitch.
Picnic, you know, picnic baskets and blankets and stuff.
Yeah, everybody just
20-degree weather.
I have some stats. Would you like some stats?
I would like some stats.
They're hot stats.
Morgan's
you still interested?
Stat man. All right.
Yeah. So we're going into this. New York needs a specific outcome to move on, right?
Yes.
Though I looked at the Crew schedule all year, MLS competition only, as well as Metro Stars MLS competition only. Both teams had outcomes in four games where New York would move on if that happened.
Yeah.
I wanted to quickly look at the four games that happened with us because, you know, that's, you know, four games out of 37 played, that's what, 10.8%. Mm-hmm. Right? So the first one, let's take a time travel back in time to the shittiest moments of our season real quick, guys.
Okay.
All right. So the first one was
diddly-doo. We already did Doctor Who earlier.
June 3rd at Philadelphia. That was a 3-0 loss. 3-0 loss at New York. New York would move on.
Yeah.
However, that was a Wednesday night game. Columbus Cruisers FC were missing Michael Parkhurst, Kai Kamara, Donny Chani.
And Greg didn't poop during that game.
No magic poopies. Second occurrence.
Magic poopies. What was that about? I can't remember that.
I did not bring that up, Sam. That
can't
was
remember
not
what,
punish
what happened
him.
There. I can't
punish
remember
Alex.
I'm waiting for him to cut my mic.
Punish Alex only. 7-11. Away at Montreal, 3-0 loss. This is the one that could possibly – it's the most normal outcome of the four.
No, Ira was there. That's why it's weird.
Yeah, you guys were there.
Hey,
first
Ira.
Goal,
it's just Ira.
First goal, Pogacek whiffed on a ball, and it was complete. You know, that was awful. Second goal, 30-yard wonder volley from Donadel. Third goal,
God, I remember that.
Clark spilled the ball to Dominic Aduro, you know, just like basically gave him and was like, here you go.
Eat hey, it. Go, buddy.
It, treat it as hey, if it's Papa John's. Third, this is on August 1st, away to Orlando, 5-2 loss. 5-2 loss to make New York move on. We remember that as the Parkhurst game where you got the handball on the on the line.
Oh, yeah.
At that the time, great. It was 1-1. Kai had scored earlier, I believe, early in the game, 7th minute, something like that. So that was a screwy game. The fourth and final instance was September 6th, home against Dallas. A team that's remaining in the playoffs. We were missing Harrison Offal, Waylon Francis, Justin Miram, Kai Kamara, Sergio Campbell, Cedric Mabwadi, and most importantly, Kevon George, who plays for two national teams. Right?
So not a huge issue.
It was a huge issue.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely a huge issue.
Of the 74 games played combined between Metro Stars and the Cruisers this season, in 60 of those, 81.1%, Crew would move on. In 8 of those, 10.8%, New York would move on. And in 6 of those, 8.1%, we would go to extra time. So all this to say, statistically speaking, 81.1% chance of going on to MLS Cup Finals. Matt, back to you.
All right, Alex. Last minute thoughts on Red Bull Crew before we put this thing to bed.
Well, I think since it's going to be another home game in Columbus, I think having back to back home crowds is going to be great.
That's
for
gonna
us.
Be big.
By the way, Erica Kress needs to start working on selling some tickets for that. I haven't heard a single thing about this game on Sunday.
I didn't know about it until just now.
Yeah,
Matt.
I didn't know about just yeah.
It was a great idea, except for that little caveat.
You win the supporters' shield, and you don't get to host a single game
that's
in the Eastern Conference
fired,
Finals.
Alex. That's why the Crew fired you.
Yeah. It is. I still want a second chance, Erica, if you're listening. But,
Request denied.
I think New York are going to come into this game nervous. I think they're going to be really nervous. I think they're going to be scared of that one goal. If we get one goal in Red Bull Arena, this thing is over. And I think we're going to get that goal.
One goal means New York immediately has to score 4 in regulation.
Yeah, in regulation.
I think it's going to finish 2-2. I think we're going to get an early goal. They're going to throw everything at us. We're going to get one more. They're going to get 2, and we're going to advance. And it's not going to be that stressful. I think it'll be okay. Sunshine, puppies, rainbows. What was the rest of the stuff? Was that
sunshine.
It?
Sunshine. Puppies, rainbows. That's it.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
We just need to go in and we need to punch him in the mouth early and just go from there.
I'm oddly less concerned now that we have the 7:30 game because the guys are going to know exactly what's on the line.
Yeah.
I mean, Dallas wins. If Dallas advances, boom, CCL spot locked up.
Yeah.
Portland wins. Portland advances. We are now taking the field to host MLS Cup Finals.
Exactly.
And if you can't get up for that as a professional athlete, you don't deserve to play in it.
Yeah. Also, Molly, did you know that she just walked in that apparently, according to Alex, the Crew have another home game on Sunday?
Oh, my God,
they
do?
Yeah, for real.
That's so cool. Yeah.
The sad thing is I had the best
plan.
Go
home, enjoy your Chinese food. I'll see you soon.
I drink tea.
Okay.
Enjoy your tea. Later. It's not like we're doing a radio show.
People sponsor this, Molly. They pay for this. How dare you?
She's going to go drink the other two greenskeepers that are in my fridge right now. That's what's happening. Thanks, Land Grant.
Can I say one more thing about the game that we played yesterday that I forgot that I didn't get a chance to mention?
Yeah. Is it that we're having another home game in a week?
No, this is something that actually happened and that is real. Michael Parkhurst and Tyson Wall playing the game in short sleeves, no undershirt. Massive respect for you, gentlemen. That was crazy. And also, one more thing. When we came out in the second half, all of the New York players just got in their spots for the lineup and just kind of, like, did their thing. Our guys were in, like, a huddle, like, kind of hyping each other up. And you could tell, like, that they are really united. And I don't think New York have that. And I think that could come into play in that second leg. Because if people start blaming each other.
Goes into the money thing.
If people start blaming each other and you start getting, you know, Bradley Wright Phillips saying, "Oh, Dax McCarty, you suck," and Dax being
Dax
like,
kind of already did it after the game.
Bradley Wright Phillips, you
super frustrated.
Yeah. If they start turning on each other, this thing is over.
By
our
the
guys
way,
are
that
united.
That was Dax McCarty's least.
He sucked.
Completion rate of passes. That was his poorest performance in 4.5 years.
Yeah, he was god awful.
Yeah, and also that was the first time That was the first time the Metro Stars have been shut
They're
out.
Pretty much the same
since May 26th.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same team right now. DC and Metro.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Sorry for them. John Zidar is looking at me, rolling his eyes. You did Sudoku at the bar.
Let him say
shout
something.
Shout out to John Zidar for designing the sweet-ass banner
College Game Day. Talk about College Game Day. Yeah. Yeah, John did a very good job at
Kings
that.
Kings of Columbus.
And People for Heisman was actually my favorite. So
I designed that.
Yeah, it's well done.
Yes.
It was very,
You're
very,
right to like it more than John's.
I do. John's kind of an awful
Actually, that was Phil Goldfarb's idea, so credit to Pickles. I just kind of went with his.
Okay.
Way to go, Pickles.
One more thing about Phil Goldfarb, since we're way off topic. Go on Phil Goldfarb's Twitter feed, and he has taken the clip of Cedric Mabwadi scoring and added a musical addition to it, and it is the best thing on Twitter in forever. You have to watch it.
Get the hell off my microphone.
It's R. Kelly, just saying.
Do it.
Just go watch it.
I've said for years.
Eat a Snickers, Elliot. God.
I've said for years that Phil Goldfarb is the anti JP LeCocco, and that makes him wonderful.
It did, yeah. It's
JP's
very true.
Terrible.
All right, we're going to take score predictions now. Cause,
oh, I already said mine, 2-2.
Yeah, no, I know, but Sam, I want to hear yours.
We're going to lose this game 2-1, and we're going to advance because we're better.
Yeah, Morgan.
In a tragic twist of fate that still renders them losers, the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars will beat the Columbus Crew 3-1, just as we beat them in 2008, and they will still lose.
I think it's going to be a 1-1 scoreline. I think we're going to go to Red Bull Arena. I think it's going to be a 1-1 scoreline. I think we get the one goal early. I think it's if I'm Greg Berhalter, punch him in the nose.
Counterattacks are going to be
super freaking early.
I have a question. When we beat the Red Bulls, is Zane Finney going to find a New York Red Bulls Eastern Conference Championship hat at a thrift store?
That would be amazing. Because Zane Finney does have the Western Conference. Or no, he has the MLS Cup Champions 2008 hat.
So
New York Red Bulls 2008 MLS Cup Champion
We
hat.
Need to get him the additional hat.
Yeah,
and
we should
have him like start a collection of hats of like all the teams that we vanquish on the way to glory.
Once a Metro, mm-hmm. always a Metro.
They're going to Metro this thing.
In a Metro, it's so bad. We're going to be done.
Yeah. We're going to take the longest break.
Glory to Columbus.
Oh, God, seriously. Oh, one more
Come
week.
Come on.
One more week.
Let's go, Buckeyes!
Bring us the
we
cup.
We can do this. We can do
Bring
this.
Bring us the cup.
For Smitty, who showed up a little bit earlier. For Sam. For Morgan. For Greg, who doesn't feel well, and I don't even think he's here anymore.
Yeah, he's talking to a girl at the bar.
Oh, nice. Ooh, is she cute? All right, well, I hope. Godspeed, Greg Benson. Alex, my name is Matt Goshard. This has been another edition of the Massive Report podcast. If I show up at your door, chances are you did something to bring me there.
Happy birthday, Chris Edwards.
Happy birthday, Chris Edwards.